Gentlemen, you all set?
Yes, sir.
Adios.
There you go.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It is Monday, February 20th, and this is the normal town of Curry Beach Town Council meeting. We have a call to order. John, do we have an invocation for the evening?
Sure. Please join me in prayer. I thank you tonight, God, for these your servants, our mayor, our council members, and our town staff. I give thanks for the way of service they have chosen to take up on behalf of all of those present here. We all come to this room tonight as complex human beings, carrying burdens, carrying joy, carrying hope, trusting that you alone can hold us together in your love and peace and help us to trust you more. And so we pray that you would be glorified tonight through the decisions of this town council. We pray that we would have the eyes to see how our lives are all connected and how our common good is upheld when we listen and respond to the most vulnerable among us. We pray that your kingdom would come in Curry Beach as it is in heaven through your power working in each of those that are your servants. May your truth be revealed. May your light shine brighter. And may the voices of those that were silenced be heard loud and clear. Defend their cause through this governing body tonight. We thank you for this council, the mayor and the staff, and first responders, and all those who work to make this place we call home such a wonderful town. Amen.
Amen. Please join in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Okay, gentlemen, please review the consent agenda and advise if it stands or if there are any recommended changes.
I'll make a motion that we accept this consent agenda as presented.
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, consent agenda approved. Moving on to adopting the regular agenda. Please review and let me know if there's anything needs to be added or taken off.
Mr. Mayor, I make a motion we accept the agenda as presented.
Second.
Okay, motion and second. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Okay. The agenda is accepted. Okay, moving on to public comment. First person for public comment is Gilbert. Yes, sir. Please state your name and your address, Gilbert. We all know who you are, but it doesn't matter. You got to do it anyway.
Thank you. Gilbert Edwin Alton, Curry Beach, 309 Fort Fisher Boulevard, North Curry Beach. First of all, my concern is the post office. First concern you don't have to worry about is the staff we have at the post office who work there. I feel extremely comfortable with. They're nice people. They're kind people. They're overloaded sometimes. We go in there and they're backed up. So I'm extremely pleased with the staff, the post office, everybody working inside. The issue that I have, may I approach?
Sure.
The issue that I have is interacting with the truck drivers that deliver the mail to the post office.
I know exactly what you get.
Yeah. And thank
you. I got two copies here.
All right. Thank you, sir. Thank you, David.
Yes. Thank you.
I've had a couple of run-ins with the drivers. Our family owns a property there that belonged to our former mayor, Stanley Cheek, back there in the 60s. And first time I had a concern with the big giant Freightliner, you know, was about 3 feet from the door of the residents that were staying in that apartment. And a big Freightliner, I think it's probably an International or a Cat, I don't know what it is, but it's a commercial truck. It's very loud and very disturbing that close to the door. The next concern is the resident has had her car hit and run. And that was a police matter. That turned it over to the police. She got no satisfaction. She had to pay her $500 deductible on that. So my question is, they're going anywhere from, you know, three times a day, 6 days a week. Of course, the post office was closed today. But looks like it's going to be a continual practice. And at some point, it's got to stop. I mean, we need a post office. We need a post office. But we've got to have it where it doesn't shut down the town, the M Avenue, three times a day, 6 days a week, and having to pull that close to a residence just to park the truck. And I wish I could just get some help from the town council to interact with who's oversees the post office. There again, I'm completely satisfied with the working staff inside that building.
Okay, I could only give you 3 minutes, and actually you were right on to 3 minutes, but we certainly, I have one quick question for you. Have you spoken to the postmaster?
I wouldn't know where to begin on that.
I've worked in the government before, and I
would love to, you know, if you want me to represent the town.
No, you'd actually be representing you, but on the other hand, we will take a look. We'll take a look at it.
Thank you, sir.
Looks, sounds like a safety item, so Mike, we'll take a look at that.
Okay. It looks like a contract too.
Yeah, it looks like contract carriers, so not postal carriers. Next, Amy.
Purvis, 802 Largo Way. Mr. Mayor, Councilman, I come before you tonight to do a little house keep cleaning. When I spoke at the budget workshop on February 6th concerning a budget request for permanent pickleball courts, I failed to leave the info packets. So with the pumps backing up my request dollars, so please indulge me as I pass out the packets this evening, and I hope you find the information valuable tool in considering this budget request. Just a little task.
Okay.
How many minutes? How many seconds?
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mandy, I gave you that packet. That's it. A copy of this packet.
Oh, I'll get
from them. No, you already have it.
Tonight?
No, from the budget workshop.
Oh, okay.
You forgot to ask for paddles up.
Oh, you didn't paddles up?
So, is that engineering as part of a proposal that you looked at?
Is it what?
Is the engineering part of a proposal that you had looked at? Well, you're showing engineering, which is where the placement of the courts would be.
That's Wrightsville Beach.
Oh, okay, Wrightsville. All right.
I do have a...
We had a pretty nice area there.
Yeah, engineered design in there of ours, but it's not that.
Okay. Thank you, Amy.
Thank you.
Next on the list is Judy.
Here's tonight, the
Bike Ped Committee is asking the council to approve Resolution R23-02, a resolution of the town of Curie Beach supporting the 2023 Year of the Trail. We support much of this resolution, including that natural beauty is critical to its residents' quality of life and economic well-being, which also explains Settlers Lane's residents' opposition to a bike trail behind our homes in an environmentally critical maritime forest, which should instead be protected. We also support the resolution that states that KB is part of the East Coast Greenway and uses state and local roads to connect the Island Greenway to the Fort Fisher Historic Site, State Park, Aquarium, and Ferry, and therefore already accomplishes their goal of connecting the Greenway to the southern end of Pleasure Island and the ferry. However, I'm here tonight to ask council to change the second from last whereas on that resolution, which seems to me to possibly be a ploy to eliminate the Dow Road as an alternative. I'm asking that the words be added to that whereas. At quote, as well as the feasibility of an off-road path in the right-of-way of Dow Road, which council agreed for the feasibility study in January, and also eliminate the words by extending Pleasure Island Greenway. Therefore, that whereas article would read as follows. Whereas the town of Curie Beach and the East Coast Greenway Alliance is committed to enhancing bicycle and pedestrian safety to the Fort Fisher Ferry Landing by receiving an NCDOT grant to study feasibility of the Greenway extension. And this is the added part, as well as the feasibility of an off-road path in the right-of-way of Dow Road. Thank you.
Thank you, Judy. You have that in writing?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Okay, that closes the...
I have one.
Oh. Sorry, Mandy, I should always ask you, because we do get mail. What do you have?
I just have one. It's from John Coontz. We can all agree that as Pleasure Island continues to grow in population and as a destination for attractions such as our beaches, the aquarium, and the expanding Fort Fisher Museum, that vehicular traffic is only becoming greater and greater. As a result, healthy alternative modes of getting around the island, bicycling and walking, are only becoming more perilous on our crowded roadways in a time when we should be encouraging such activities. Therefore, the need for expanding the Island Greenway into Curie Beach and out to Fort Fisher becomes a safety issue first and foremost. Fort Fisher Boulevard is flat-out dangerous for walkers and cyclists, especially for our youth. We cannot allow a handful of homeowners to dominate the discussion for an Island Greenway that is clearly in the interest of the community at large. The fact of the matter is that homeowners who currently live near the Island Greenway in Carolina Beach have had no problems or complaints that I'm aware of. In fact, the value of their homes has only increased having the Greenway nearby. What we need is a referendum vote on the need for an expanded Greenway to put the issue in the proper perspective.
Okay. Anything else? Okay, that'll close the public comment section. Do you have any presentations tonight, Mandy? I don't believe so.
I don't think so.
Okay, moving on to committee business. First committee on the agenda tonight is Bike Ped Advisory Committee. Mo.
Good evening, Honorable Mayor, Mayor Pro Tem, Commissioners, staff, and guests. Tonight, I have six very exciting things to speak to you about, and I'm going to go as quickly as I can. First, I would like to thank you for approving Alan Crum and Greg Germain as full members to our committee. Our committee is definitely a working committee, and we also want to thank the many other neighbors who offered to help. We're hoping that many of them who were not chosen to join us in our volunteer work will help us to fulfill our strategic plan. Education is high on our list, and we need lots of helpers. Please, anyone who would like to help us, email our committee website at kbbikepedcommittee@gmail.com. Number two, that education component includes everyone from our police chief to the youngest resident. We met with Chief Bowden and Detective Bailey to look at a program presented by BikeWalk NC for bicycle-friendly drivers, beginning with police departments and then for the general public. Until people driving motorized vehicles and people on bikes and people walking can learn how to respectfully coexist with etiquette, our roadways will remain dangerous. One of our committee's goals is to educate drivers, pedestrians, and people on bikes to be aware of each other. Almost 100 years ago, our society became car-centric and infrastructure was created mainly for cars. But now, because of the Complete Streets policy adopted in North Carolina, our state requires safe corridors providing accessible and functional transportation to all travelers, including vulnerable ones on foot or human-powered devices. We would like to have a booth at Curious on April 29th to share our committee work. Number three, with education in mind and May being Bike Month, we would like to have our second pop-up traffic garden, Saturday, May 20th, here at the parking lot at Town Hall. Carolina Beach had a bike rodeo in November. A traffic garden is different than a bike rodeo. A bike rodeo teaches children skills and maneuvering on a bicycle. They get instructions on proper helmet fitting and the ABCs, air brakes and chains, of bike maintenance. A traffic garden is different because we do all that, but the course is a miniature world of streets. Kids ride bikes, trikes, big wheels, scooters, and anything else they bring along, and we teach them about road safety and interactions. Last year, our course had a roundabout and several crosswalks, and even a bad dog that sometimes ran into the crosswalk. The kids learn what to do when these situations arrive, and they are encouraged to stay and play on the course as long as they like. May we have approval to set this as our date?
May 20th?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I mean, we will check that.
Okay. Number four. The Terry Benji Bicycle Foundation will help us with the pop-up traffic garden again this year. This organization gets money from the Cape Fear cyclists, and their largest fundraiser is the Tour de Blueberry, which is coming up on June 17th. Since COVID, we have had a virtual team, the Curry Cruisers, but this year they will only be doing the on-site ride in Burgaw for the Blueberry Festival. We would like to have Curry Cruisers as a team live in Burgaw that day. Last year's team, Curry Cruisers, came in first place as a virtual team. The award for the Curry Cruisers team is a price discount for the entry fee for this year for all who participated last year. The discount code will be emailed to every participant. I know that Commissioner Ellen has already signed up. You can maybe talk to Beth Andrews about that. My question is, because it's not virtual, because it is so far away, do we want to support a team, and do we need a waiver if we do?
I think I'll ask the attorney, but I think as individuals, we have to sign a waiver when we register through the organization, so we should be fine without it, shouldn't we, Jim?
Yeah. When you say waiver, when you just commented on that, what were you contemplating? The town signing the waiver?
Well, last year when we had a virtual team and we were riding here, or anywhere really, I was in Copenhagen on a bike, but we signed a town waiver.
Right.
But this year, because they're only going to be doing it as the live ride that day, and waivers will be signed with the Cape Fear cyclists.
Well, I think if you're waiving Cape Fear cyclists, you're not waiving the town. If you want to try to put the two together, that's one thing. But I think you can just tweak last year's virtual waiver and make it workable for the town for the live event. Does that make sense?
Okay, so we have a...
Okay, we've got our waiver.
We have a waiver. Yeah,
we already have a waiver you've approved, Jim. We can just tweak it.
I think you actually tweaked it for an event subsequent to...
Well, Sean changed the year.
Yeah.
Last year, so it was...
So I think you'll have to change the date. I think you're going to need to be more specific about this year's event. But I do think you need a waiver for the town. Because the other waiver is only for the cycling club.
Okay.
And if you want me to assist on that, you've got my email, right?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Number five. We received the wonderful news that the application by the East Coast Greenway for a feasibility study connecting the Island Greenway to the Fort Fisher Ferry has been approved. There were 65 applicants and 25 were selected. Many residents are fearful that this means a greenway will run right through their backyards. Our committee has met at the homes of several of these neighbors, hoping to ease their concerns, as this grant is only for a feasibility study. Council recommended that the study be done from the eastern boundary of Montsou property to Dow Road. As the Curry Beach representative on the WMPO, my personal goal is to create safe infrastructure in our town, connecting the Island Greenway to the new $25 million museum, North Carolina Aquarium, and the Fort Fisher Ferry, as we help the East Coast Greenway complete their goal of a true greenway, a corridor for vulnerable travelers that is protected and does not share the road with motorized vehicles. During the feasibility study, there will be an opportunity for public input, and all residents will be able to voice their desires. And this is just a side note. Personally, I do not imagine the most pleasurable ride through the fire break on Matsu property. A greenway is much more pleasant in a park-like setting. However, Matsu owns this property, and it will take skillful negotiations to get permission to use any of their land. This is up to Matsu and Town Council, and this committee makes no decisions. At this point in time, neighbors on Settlers who were opposed to their street becoming a suggested route through the neighborhood for people walking and people on bikes seem to accept the fact that the spot lane connector has been beneficial. This is where we circle back to education, etiquette, and respect for all vulnerable travelers, especially when you're driving a 6,000-pound vehicle or when you are bicycling with your friends. It is not okay to ride three abreast if cars need to get past you. Etiquette for all. Number six, we are asking Council to sign resolution R23-02, a resolution of the town of Curry Beach supporting the 2023 Year of the Trail. I also supplied you with the North Carolina State Session Law 2021-109, House Bill 554, which explains why our great state has determined that connecting trail segments, a powerful tool for economic and community development. I wanted to read this law out loud because I thought it was amazing and the community would benefit hearing the direction our state is heading, but to respect time for everyone, I just sent it to staff to be included in the minutes. Any questions or changes or revisions?
Any questions, gentlemen? Okay, Mo, thank you.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to... I really appreciate what Judy said. I do think that we have over and abundantly emphasize the Dow Road facet of our feasibility study and everything we've said in that study. And this is a reference as to the receiving the feasibility grant. I would recommend that we just approve the resolution as submitted by the committee. It would be my resolution instead of trying to rewrite it up here in front of the council.
Well, I sent all four of you a memo with some objections that I had to this. They're nitpicks, but one of them is a grammatical error, and I hate to see the mayor sign a piece of paper that has grammar wrong, but I can talk about those individually, or we can take a recommendation and a vote.
So, one, there's not a time frame for this. And two, during your presentation, you said the council recommended we include. No, we required it. So, the council didn't recommend we include Dow Road be considered in the feasibility study. We required it.
Yeah,
there's a difference, right?
The motion did require it.
Yeah, I'm just saying that she said recommended, and so, I mean, I'm not as conspiracy-based as Ms. Larrick, but I do think that it's clear that council is clear on their will and everything. I'm fine with if this doesn't get done tonight, unless there's some time frame I don't understand about this, and we fix the grammatical errors that John said, and then I'll be glad to work on the one paragraph that's been called into question. And I'm fine with it having our requirement in our resolution. Is there some timing for this?
No, this is just
because May is bike month, right?
This is a generic resolution that the state asked all municipalities and county governments to pass, being the year of the trail. Be honest with you, we just didn't get on the agenda for last month. It should have been on the agenda last month. I'm okay with it the way it is because I think it serves the purpose if we correct the grammatical error that I didn't see. But we can. I think it's very clear that we're using the feasibility study, the grant that we received. It was very clear in the grant application that all aspects of the motion that was made that night was covered. It's very clear in that. So this has nothing to do with the grant. It's just saying that we're studying through a feasibility study.
So
the extension.
So I agree with you.
Okay.
Right.
Let's read that.
I don't know if I captured it very well, Ray, so you can see my writing.
Yeah.
And thanks to staff,
can
I can write
it. Sure. May I say
something
else?
Sure.
There is maybe some confusion that this is about a bike path, but this resolution is about trails. And Perry Beach markets for people to come to our town and hike trails. In Curie Beach, on our town property, we don't have many trails, but we actually tell them to go down to the aquarium or Fort Fisher. Do you remember in February of last year when Sean and Nikki did the Trail Tuesday videos and they did the Katie Discourse, which is considered a trail, the Fort Fisher Basin Trail, which the Hermit's Trail, the Boardwalk, the Beach Coquina Outcrop, and the Carolina Beach Sugarloaf Trail. So this isn't really bike path related as much as it is trails. I just wanted to make that clear.
That's a fair point, Mo. Thank you. Can we read the paragraph that's in question, please?
Whereas the town of Curie Beach and the East Coast Greenway Alliance is committed to enhancing bicycle and pedestrian safety by extending Pleasure Island Greenway to the Fort Fisher Ferry Landing by receiving a NCDOT grant to study the feasibility of the extension.
So we're not mentioning any preferred path in there?
No.
It's just saying that...
It's just saying that we received a grant and we're studying the feasibility.
Okay.
Excuse me, can I comment?
Sure.
In my reading of that, it says specifically extending the greenway. And all I'm saying is extending the greenway and looking at Dow Road. But it specifically says the feasibility study to extend the greenway. All I'm suggesting is one little sentence that you've already agreed to add and study Dow Road.
Okay, thank you, Judy.
So to meet the request of the state for the year of the trail, why don't we just delete that whole paragraph? Are we trying to say thank you, NCDOT? Is that why
well,
it's in there?
Because
it's not in the one from the law.
In the sample that we've received,
right?
Correct me if I misstate something. In our sample or template that we received for the Year of the Trail resolution, it asks us in this paragraph to recognize trails, or I think in the city of Wilmington's it may say something about the Gary Shell Trail during that part of it. So we're just recognizing that we've received a grant. And
so the state template led us to that.
Yeah, okay. Led us that way. And so instead of reducing the thing by paragraph, we included this in there. And I wrote this. I mean, I'm the one that put it in there.
Yeah, no. If the state's asking for it,
I don't know about the grammatical errors.
We haven't gotten to those yet, right?
Yeah. Okay.
Well, I have trouble with the fourth paragraph that mentions that this will has resilience to climate change. That the natural resources of your natural assets are a way of having resilience to climate change. And you know, the computer's definition of climate is climate resilience, ability to anticipate, prepare for, or respond to hazardous events, trends, disturbances related to climate. Improving climate resilience involves assessing how climate change will create new or alter current climate-related risks, and then take steps to better cope with these risks. I don't think a biped path is a climate change risk.
Well, that, again, John, that's something that was taken directly from the template that we received, and evidently they feel like that it did have some.
I mean, it's not a climate change issue.
I think it's a maintenance of our natural environment. I think this is a statement that says, you know, Kerry Beach, by maintaining its natural environment, and trails can do that, is going to contribute to resilience. I understand what you're saying, John, but I see this as a very almost benign statement saying that we have a wonderful natural geography here in Kerry Beach.
I agree.
With swampland and paddocks and maritime forests. Mm-hmm. And I think it's supporting that. It's just saying, maintain that, and that will contribute to resilience.
But we're going to go back to the maintenance issue. We're going to go disturb 3 miles of that forest and put in pavement and fences and crosswalks. So it's not going to be natural anymore. It's going to be things
to be determined whether that helps or harms. And we don't want it to harm. All right?
It doesn't help climate change.
No, it's not going to help climate change.
Well, that's
help,
what this paragraph is.
No, it's not going to help climate change. It's going to help mitigate the damage done by climate change. But it's I don't care. This is just a mind.
Yeah. We seem to be pretty deep into.
We're watching a lot. We can rewrite this thing if y'all want to table this.
Yeah. So, look, so much we table it to the next meeting.
Yeah. I suggest that we get our act together on this.
Right.
Not that it's not together, but there are a couple other things that we will take a look at. And I am not ready to call a vote or to accept the motion on this because we need a little more work done here. So We're going to table this for next meeting.
Why don't you entertain a motion?
Yeah, I make a motion.
You made the motion. I just need the second.
Yeah, I make a motion to table it to next
meeting. I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
No.
Okay.
One no. Vote.
Opposed?
One
no. There no. You. I understand. Okay. Community Center Committee. Community Center Committee did meet. They are planning a... You want to help me with this one, Nikki? They are planning an Easter event for pictures with the Easter bunny.
Paparazzi.
Called a rabbit.
Paparazzi.
Oh, actually, we do have a representative from the committee here. Would you like to talk to that, Wick? Would you like to tell...
It's going to be basically opportunity for kids to get a picture with the Easter Bunny. It'll be April Fool's Day. This is not a joke, though. From 10 to noon. And come in, and of course, everybody's going to have their own phones, so we're not providing a photographer or anything.
Yep.
But we'll have the backdrops, and we'll have the Easter Bunny there. Anybody want to be the Easter Bunny?
We're looking for Easter Bunny volunteers, yes. Since everybody else is running a egg hunt,
right.
I think it was a creative idea. And as in all our committees, we have very creative people.
So you're doing
and it's not easy being a volunteer in these committees. So
you're doing it the Saturday before Easter the following week?
Because there's so much,
so
going
much stuff
on,
okay.
You know, that Carolina Beach had, you know, lined up, et cetera, et cetera, you know, churches. So, yeah, that's, we did it, you know, a week ago.
We thought about how much fun it would be hiding 6,000 eggs.
Yeah.
But
no.
We decided not to do that. Or you decided not to do that. Okay.
But
thank
did
you.
Did you say you were going to get the council to put all this up?
No. Because it would be one. Okay, historical preservation. Oh, we don't have that any longer. Oh, yes, we do.
Yeah.
But they're not meeting. The land use plan, that's gone, done.
Yeah.
Marketing committee.
No update, Mayor.
Okay. Nothing, Mark? Okay. Parking committee. There's no longer a parking committee. Council will be making the decisions based on a parking program and the input from the community. Planning and zoning committee. Oh, we did publish a letter on what's changing in parking. I hope you all paid attention to that. It doesn't really impact you, but there are some things that will have additional cost to some of our visitors. So...
Well, and there was a good thing. You can get a parking pass in Carolina Beach now.
That's right.
As a Carolina Beach resident. So that was
That's
good.
That's right.
And it's an easy process.
Yep. And an easy process. Planning and zoning. Byron?
We did meet, but no more.
Okay. Shoreline access and beach protection. Yes, sir.
I'm Rick Jackson. I'm the chairman of the committee. I'm just going to provide a quick update. Mostly, we're working on getting new beach signs. That includes the blue dog signs and access signs. We're in the process of doing that right now. One big thanks to Jimmy and his group. They have already placed cigarette receptacles in most, if not all, of the beach access points. And so they are very efficient when you give them a task. I can tell you that. So my thanks to them. My thanks to them. And also, we're putting new Curry Beach brochures. They're in being published as we speak.
Okay. Incidentally, thank you for taking that leadership role.
Oh,
we've had some pretty good leaders in the past.
I heard rumors.
So I'm sure you'll do a good job. Stormwater.
Yes, so we met and we elected new officers, and I'd like to introduce Tracy Mitchell as the chairman of the Stormwater Committee, and she'll provide the update.
So
So the Stormwater Committee met for our regular scheduled meeting Monday, February 13th at the Town Hall. So committee members, Mr. Hagler, he's the Town and Heritage Liaison. Jenny Mesmer is Public Works. Tracy Mitchell, I represent Beach Walk, with Jim Craig as alternative. Jay Stewart represents Curie Estates. Pat Ciarotti represents Sea-Watch. Michael Davenport, Curie Dunes. Bob Cooley, Curie Beach Village. And the Keys will elect a board of directors represented at the March meeting and advise. So at this meeting, the committee establishes officers. Tracy Mitchell, chair. Jay Stewart, vice chair. Patsy O'Reilly, secretary. The Stormwater Committee meetings will be held the fourth Monday monthly at 5 p.m. beginning March 2023. So nothing for this month. Currently, the committee is collectively working on a master plat map of the stormwater permitting areas for the above mentioned IGAs.
Okay. Thanks for accepting the role, Tracy. It's not an easy role, but you do have a good liaison.
Yeah. Very good, yeah.
Thank you both.
Okay. Moving on to department head business. Mandy, administration.
I don't have any updates, sir.
Okay. Building inspection department, John.
No updates, Mayor.
Beyond the report that you filed.
That's correct.
Finance department, Arlen.
No updates.
No updates. We're on path for the software update.
We're in great shape.
Good. Excellent.
I did catch Arlen in the hall and ask him a question that I don't know if the five of us have thought about. And he has thought about it and is looking into it in a way. When Charlie Miller sent his congressional update from the state congressional note, it mentioned that one of the bills he has filed is a way for people over 65 to defer part of their property tax. Mm-hmm. And we have a number of people in town that are over 65. And if they are deferring their property tax, then Curie Beach property tax is going to be lower in the succeeding years after if that bill passes. And I was just wondering, can we try to figure out the impact on Curie Beach?
Well, the bill hasn't, I don't think, moved out of committee, and I have not had an opportunity to read through the details on that bill. The only part that I understand is if you defer it, when you move on to your reward, your descendants have to pay it, or the property can be sold. So it's not a panacea. So there are, I don't think anybody's going to step into it.
Be like putting a lien on the property.
Yeah, it's basically what you're going to do, yes.
Right. So now, still, and that could have an impact in the next 4 or 5 years, and then it will, might resolve itself.
Yeah. Right. But I agree with you on the point, John. When we see Charlie on Wednesday, Dennis and Aaron and I, we will ask him what his solution is for that problem. Good point.
Hey, so just for counsel, there's already a Homestead Act in North Carolina that if you've been in the house for a certain number of time and you're over, I think, 65, it decreases your property tax by a certain amount. It's like $35,000 of the value or something. Do you remember what it is exactly?
I don't remember the exact amount.
But there's something like that that's been in since, I think, the 80s. So there's something out there for our senior citizens if you've been in your house for a while.
Yeah, people might want to get in line for that one.
I think there's a dollar income level above.
Right. Yeah, not too many folks in this town are going to hit that income level.
No.
Fire department?
Have no updates.
Okay. Thank you, Ed.
Some of the retirees are good income.
What?
Some of the retirees get zero income.
Yeah, some. Yeah. Police department.
Good evening.
Chief Bowden, good evening.
Good evening. How are you, sir? One of your copy with the mayor's that was brought up about park hours. And looking into it further, all we have is a policy on park hours. And was requesting permission to work with the town attorney on a ordinance for park hours, for all of our parks, including the one we
may or may not do.
I think it's broader than that. As I understand the rules and regs, they're kind of a loose assembly that aren't attached to any particular ordinance. So if you want to develop an effective set of rules and regulations that can be enforced based on a variety of statutory authorizations, then you need to do a parks and rec ordinance, and that's not a problem.
Okay. You have an opinion on that, Nikki?
We've been in communication, and I'm sure that will continue throughout the process. So
okay. Okay. Gentlemen of the council, I think that it is pretty important. We've had people over in the area of the 7th Street Park, of Joe Eakes Park, past midnight. The lights can't go on past 11. Therefore, there's really no reason to be over there. So I'd accept the motion to allow the chief to work on it with the attorney and with Nikki.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Aye. Got it, chief. Public Works Department. Jimmy.
No updates, sir.
No updates? Recreation Department. What you got, Nikki?
I just wanted to give a public update regarding the polar plunge that was held this past weekend. First of all, those events wouldn't be possible without the support of our other departments, and especially Public Works, Police, and then Fire and Ocean Rescue. They were very helpful and did a great job. And then the event itself this year was the most successful one that they've ever had as far as their fundraising efforts. They had 685 registrants and then cleared, these are estimates right now, but $86,000 to support the Special Olympics program. And so
what a great cause and what a great job by everybody in the town. And it was jammed. If you were in town for the weekend, you know it was quite jammed. For a good reason. Is that it, Nikki?
Yeah, thank you.
All right, thank you. Good job.
Yeah, no. Good
nice job, Alan.
Good fundraiser.
Okay, old business. Planning and design for the Fort Fisher K Avenue intersection improvements.
Okay, we're to the point, Mr. Mayor, of selecting a engineering firm through DOT's process. They have released the engineering dollars that was in our cost estimate through their into the portal where we do that. And you all got to review the four firms that I think it was four or five firms that submitted. They all have, there were four. They have to meet all the NCDOT criteria for signal design, interchange design, the whole, you know, everything. It's very complicated and pre-qualified task in there. So after tabulation and looking at everything, I'd like to recommend that we make a motion that we give me the opportunity to negotiate with Withers and Ravenel to for the contract, and with a second or the number two firm being Summit Engineering if that negotiation falls through.
Okay.
Can we add to that, work with me on the contract?
The contract will be an NCDOT contract if you want to tackle it, sir. I meant to say that. I will submit it to you, but it will be an NCDOT contract.
And that was an RFQ, which they call an LOI.
LOI because it's a federal dollars for that grant we received.
Thank you.
But I will let you review it too, sir.
Yes, I'll second John's motion to let Alan Oliver work with contract negotiations with our top scoring Withers Ravenel.
And I'll bring that back next month.
With the attorney and the finance officer. Thank you.
Okay, so we have a motion, a second, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, Alan, you got it.
We're a step closer to that interchange, I guess.
Yeah, that's going to be exciting. Maybe it'll be a roundabout.
No, don't say that word.
Sorry, I couldn't avoid it. Continued discussion on a parking request for Pleasure Island Disc Golf Club. Nikki gave us the information that we had requested. Apparently, most of the folks that do use that area and keep it clean are people across the bridge. Of the 100 plus, there were 3 from Curry Beach and 15, something 13. Like that, from Carolina Beach.
13.
All the 13. Yes. All the rest were over the bridge folks who come and keep it clean. The important thing about this is, if they did not do that, guess who would have to do it?
Public Works.
Jimmy. And guess who would be paying Jimmy to do it?
We would. Citizens.
We would. Therefore, gentlemen, I think it would be okay for one Sunday. Is it a Sunday or Saturday? It's Saturday.
Sunday.
First Sunday of the month.
For the first Sunday of the month, that we allow them to play disc golf and clean up the course without a fee. We currently don't charge them beyond for the first 3 hours. But this would be 6 Sundays only. And I don't think, Nikki, I'll work with you, but I think the only thing I need to do is to tell Jim, don't go up to the park on Sunday. Okay. Any enforcers just won't come.
No, we should. We can use coupons, as Nikki recommended. So, I would say we just give Nikki permission to use coupons as we do for other special events. I think you just need guidance on how many, right? And can they be set for certain areas? That's the only thing. So you can set it for that area, right?
And a certain time.
Correct.
Yeah. So,
okay.
And they can't take it and go like from here down to.
No, that's what I'm saying. The coupon. Yeah.
That's what it has to be to an area.
Yeah.
Technically, yeah.
So, because basically, if you're a registered license, you can park in 15 different places for the amount of money that you spent. If you spent your $5, you could park at 3 different places in that hour. You don't have to pay each time.
Right.
So if you can work out coupon, that'll work.
Yeah, so let's make a motion. We grant the authority to the recreation director to issue coupons to the disc golf club on the Sundays of their tournaments. Yeah, tournament / work days. And give her permission to do that.
I'll second that.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
And Nikki, opposed?
No.
All right.
Nikki, can you just ask the traffic track that so we know how much it is? They can track those coupons.
How many? Course. Yeah, you can set a limit to how many.
Yeah, well, and just how often they're used, right? So they can, right? Arlen, they can tell us about coupon use, right? Yes.
Well, thank you. Right now there's.
They're not going to have more coupons than the amount of club members minus the Curry Beach. Carolina Beach might buy a pass anyway, but maybe not. So if it's 100, they get 97.
But they said they get an average of 25 to 30.
That's right.
How many do you want us to allot for each?
I think 20.
A maximum of
20? That's what I think, a maximum of 20.
How many people go to the event?
That's what
I was led to believe it was many.
25 to 30 members.
Their average was 25 to 30.
Yes.
The 20 coupons means 5 to 10 people will pay?
Is that what that means?
They probably, some of them ride together, yeah. So that's
and
why.
Some of them are those carry reach.
That's right. That's why I said 20. I mean, that's my input to council. And
I think
it becomes a problem, then they can let us know. Yeah. But.
Okay, is that an amendment to the motion?
Yes.
Yes.
Sorry, fine. Yes it is, sir.
Okay. So it's been recommended that we have Nikki use 20 per Sunday, or allow them to use 20 per Sunday, clean up and tournament Sundays. I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Yes, second.
All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. 20, Nikki. If they need more, come talk to us.
Sure.
New business. Extension of the Smart Moves consulting contract for CAMA grant application for beach access grant at L Avenue number 140 and Guard Shack number 99. Alan.
Mr. Mayor, in our budget or in our retreat, we talked about applying for a CAMA grant and about having Adrian Harrington at Smart Moves Consulting do that grant application. She does have experience in doing those type grants. We have a pre-application deadline that comes in April, at the end of April. So there'll be some work that will have to be done in this budget year if we're inclined to do that. So we need to do two things. We need to extend her contract, and she has given us a number of hours not to exceed, as we have in all of her other extensions. Mm-hmm. And also we need to decide, we have found out that if we do multiple locations, that kind of hurts our chances of getting a grant. So we probably need to narrow this down to one access area, beach access area. I would recommend L Avenue, since that is already a handicap access and that dune has grown into the ramp.
Access.
Yeah. That's at L Avenue, that's number 140. Jimmy's had to put up plywood to keep the sand from taking over the ramp down there. I mean, it's really, it's just the dune's grown, and it's a product of beach renourishment and the coastal storm reduction that has caused that, but it's a good problem to have.
Yes, it is.
But you have to we need to do a pre-application by April 28th, and so I'm just coming to y'all to extend our contract and to select which access point we want to use.
Okay, I understand about L Avenue. What did we want to do with the Guard Shack?
Well, the Guard Shack one is just a bunch of sand. Was it ever a handicap access, Chief?
I don't know if it was, but I do believe that there was a public access put there with a Hatteras ramp a few years back. I'm not sure what year that exactly was completed, but that is a very heavily accessed area. We use it for our wheelchairs with lifeguards too. So.
Yeah, but I don't think it was one of the handicap access. Do you know, Jimmy? I don't think it's ever been.
No, that was a pretty close handrail.
Right.
Yeah.
And it gets buried with sand. Right. And we also, right next to it, drive the beach vehicles out, right? The lifeguards.
I'm not saying this one doesn't need to be done, but I think in order of priority, L is probably more important
to
us.
I agree.
Okay. From handicap itself.
I just want to understand why we were interested in 99, but okay.
But we talked about that. I mean, that was the two that we talked about in the retreat.
Right.
And so I'm open to, I'd like to make a motion that we extend the contract and do L Avenue number, access number 140.
Counselor?
A couple of things. One, I've not seen this contract before, so I don't have any input into it. That's the first point. Second point, we've worked with Adrian quite a bit. She's very reliable. I have no problem. I wouldn't do anything differently than what y'all want to do. But I would ask you to do one thing. In a previous contract with her, we developed terms and conditions that we attached to the contract. She accepted that. Can you go ask her to amend this first page to make a clear reference that it's an amendment to that contract?
Amendment to that, if you yeah.
So, so that those terms and conditions right. come in. Thank you.
Okay.
Alan?
So we have a motion?
One second, please.
Okay, discussion?
Yeah. Why do you think we're risking getting grant money if we do more than one?
It's just by, I think it was a conversation she had had that with the limited amount of funds, they don't do multiple grants. We can apply for two if you want to.
Can we prioritize?
I don't know if we can or not.
Well, that's essentially what we're doing.
No, but I mean, we apply for both and say, look, if we can only get one, we choose.
I don't know if we have that flexibility to do two submittals or if there's got to be one grant submittal for both so they would approve them.
Okay.
But I'll be glad to ask that question.
Yeah. I mean, I just think it's rather than giving up right away. I mean, I don't know.
I just know that there's limited amount of funds and that areas that have applied for multiple grant applications or multiple sites have not scored or been given grants according to her research.
Okay.
And for our, she gave me that for our consideration. We can do whatever, she'll do whatever we tell her to do. But I thought
it'd
be best
this time. The chief was saying that that's where many of the wheelchair access, when they come in, that's the access they use to get the handicapped wheelchairs down to the beach.
That is one of them. It's a heavily accessed area. It's probably not anywhere near as heavily
as
L? To the north side of the pier.
Yeah.
It does need some work. Definitely beyond repair. I mean, the dunes have certainly grown outward.
I mean, I think we're taking a chance there, but we can always.
Well,
I would just ask. I mean, I'm fine with L being the priority.
All right.
Just ask if in a single application they can.
Okay.
They can. She can prioritize. Right.
We'll do an amendment. I'll have her put on her quote. This is an amendment to our existing contract, and I'll check on the on prioritizing it. Yeah. L first and 99 second. Right. How's that?
Right. What were we expecting to do on the guard shack? Take the sand away? Put in a new ramp? What was our intention? If all you got to do is pull the sand away, Jimmy will do that on a Saturday morning.
Yeah. We don't want to pull the sand away because then you'll be below it. You don't want to do that.
You talking about rebuilding the Hatteras ramp there, Chief?
Yeah, if I had input, I definitely think there's a lot of value in adding an actual up-width emergency access at that point because it's centrally located. And then two, we have a lot of people that come off the beach and on the beach, and now they actually sometimes will walk through the lifeguard shack just because the stairwell is, you know, it's sort of beyond its repair. So we've cleaned the area, and it, you know, it looks inviting to walk out on the sand, but they're not using the actual walkway. So
yeah, it's pretty well covered over it.
Yes, sir.
Mm.
But our other one down at L is not meeting it does not meet the ADA standards anymore.
Okay. Priority is at L, as you recommend. And what do you gentlemen wish to do about 99? Are we going for one grant with both? What's the will of council? We've talked it over. What shall we do?
You mean to see if we can do two separate grant applications, or if it has to be, I was under the impression it had to be lumped into one grant application.
Okay, so you
well,
will...
Well, then what if they picked the wrong one? I mean...
Well, that's what I'm saying. Can we just...
I don't know. We'll find out. I just wanted a prioritization tonight.
Yeah.
So I agree with your prioritization.
Yeah, prioritization
is
good.
By April, so...
Yes, we don't have time to mess around on next meeting, so... Well, we're going to have to do this probably by consensus.
Yeah. I make a motion to give Commissioner Oliver permission to negotiate with the bid writer to fix the issues the attorney brought up and to investigate if prioritization hurts our chances. If it does, in our grant writer's opinion,
we'll go
L Avenue is the priority.
And then next year we'll go for 99.
Right.
That's my motion.
There's a motion.
I'll second.
All right, motion and second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. I don't think I can give you anything else to do, Alan.
Sure you can.
Proposed text amendments for criminal enforcement of KBC provisions. I think that's you, Jim.
Thank you.
Counselor.
Some introductory remarks. We're going to talk about the criminal enforcement provisions in the code from top to bottom. I want it to be understood that I've not treated with discretion any of the penalties that are in there. What I've done is either conform them to a statutory requirement or delete one or two based on another statutory requirement. But for what's in the code that I didn't mess with, I didn't get into. They basically were provisions that were developed before I came on board, and they're policy considerations. So I'm not making any recommendations as to the amount of a civil penalty or which misdemeanor it might be or whether a fine should be imposed. I took those at face value and simply conformed the code from top to bottom to what these two statutes that I discussed on the document require. Well, second point, I think in your agenda packet, we're starting on page 80, but basically I'm going to walk through the document that starts on page 80, but I'll be referring to my page numbers at the bottom of the page.
Okay. Thanks for clarifying that, Jim, because I noticed there weren't any changes to the penalties, and I wasn't sure what we were exactly doing, but...
Well, there are some changes. Very few, because everything else is basically what I would say is syntactical, a clearer reference.
But okay.
In order to, that's a good segue, because in order to understand what I've done, again, which is required by statute, we need to look at two statutes and make sure we understand them. And that's what note one and note two on the document, on page one of the document, refer to. Note one. Your basic enforcement statute is 168-175. That's also the same statute why I agree with Nikki and the Chief on doing a Parks and Rec ordinance. 175 gives you a tremendous amount of remedies. You can do a civil citation, you can do a criminal punishment, you can get an order of abatement, you can get injunctive relief. All of that is authorized by that statute. But the legislature recently amended that statute to provide as follows, and I'm reading the first and second line under note one, to provide that a violation of the town ordinance may be a misdemeanor only if it's specified as such in the ordinance. So in other words, if you're going to have a criminal punishment for violating a local ordinance, that local ordinance has to say that. If you just say, we're going to enforce it criminally, but you don't say what it is or what the punishment is, then it doesn't count.
No, I understand.
But to understand that further, you got to go down to a different statute, which note 2 covers, 14.4. The primary subsection here is the first one, A. Except as provided below, any person shall violate an ordinance of a town shall be guilty of a class 3 misdemeanor and shall be fined not more than $500. However, no fine shall exceed $50 unless the ordinance expressly states that the fine is greater than $50. So 14.4 tells us that violating the local ordinance, the criminal punishment, is a class 3 misdemeanor, which is the lowest class. It also tells us that we can fine up to $500 for that criminal punishment. But it's limited at 50 unless we rewrite the ordinance to provide for the greater punishment. So it's those two things together that have dictated the changes that I've made in the code. And let me say one other thing. Going back to the second paragraph under note one,
The amendments to 175 also decriminalize certain local ordinances. And I want to read one of the provisions of that statute to you, just because it might come up in our discussion. The 175 actually put out a checklist for county and city ordinances, provisions therein that cannot be punished criminally. They took away a lot of it. And for cities, this is how it reads. I'm not going to read the checklist. I'm just going to read one example to show you how broad it is and why I've done some of the things that I did. No ordinance of the following type may impose a criminal penalty. Number one, any ordinance adopted under Chapter 160D.
That's
80% of the code.
Yeah. Okay.
So with those things in mind, let's walk through the changes so that you can see what I've done. Starting on page 2, we're dealing with the chapter in the article about drinking malt beverages and unfortified wine on public streets. And of course, the red font is the proposed amendments.
Does this mean it's okay to drink fortified wine?
No.
No, not in that. It should be unlawful for any person to consume or drink any malt beverage, liquor, or unfortified wine. Any malt beverage, liquor, or unfortified wine.
But there is a liquid called fortified wine.
Well, I guess we should. I would just take out unfortified.
I agree. This wine is.
Leave it at wine.
But getting down to the enforcement provision, you'll see the first strikeout. Any person who should violate this section shall be punished as provided by that statute. That statute deals with underage drinking. It doesn't have anything to do with open containers of alcohol, so it doesn't fit. So I took that out. Likewise, I didn't do an exhaustive search, and the chief might chime in. Maybe there's something under the criminal code, but in 18B, Chapter 18B, which is the ABC laws, I couldn't find anything on a quick search that provided a criminal penalty under that chapter for open containers of alcohol. Again, there may be one in 15 or 15A, but in terms of, so that's why I left out the criminal penalty at the bottom of page 2 and simply made it a civil citation, civil penalty. We can revisit that if we need to. The next one occurs at the top of page 3, unlawful assemblies. And again, since we know that 14.4, since we know that statute 14.4 says you violate it, it's a class 3 misdemeanor, you can't be fined more than $50 unless. That's what all I did was refer to 14.4, so that tells us that it's class 3 and that it's fined $50.
Okay.
Likewise,
there is a typo in that paragraph.
In the black part?
Yep.
Yeah, I didn't mess with that. Where is it?
Therefore is kind of right in the middle. Third from the bottom.
Missing the E?
Yes.
Injuring property, I took the same approach. As a matter of fact, for everything on that page, I took the same approach, referring to 14.4, which tells us it's a class 3 misdemeanor and a $50 penalty. Likewise, top of page 4, human waste, same approach. Now, if you get to 6.2, the next one, 6.02070, it shall be unlawful for any person willfully and intentionally to carry concealed about his person, et cetera, a weapon. You go down to the bottom, B through E are basically exceptions or explanations, but the enforcement penalty is F. Here, because of the serious, and again, I took what you all had. I didn't change that, but I don't disagree with it because it's a more serious offense. But we've made sure that it matches what 14.4 and 175 tell us. Any person violating the provision of subsection A herein shall be guilty of a class 2 misdemeanor, not just class 3, which 14.4 defaults to, and shall be fined not more than $200 for the first offense. A second or subsequent offense is punishable as a class H felony under that statute. I double-checked that statute, and that's what that statute said. So we're okay on those things. Councilman Hagler, this one might interest you. In Universal Stormwater Management General Provisions, it was such a lengthy section that I copied most of it, but I want to draw your attention to page 6 under subsection B. Ordinance currently provides a subsection C, which results in criminal punishment a la 14.4. for violation of the stormwater model ordinance. Going back to what I just read you, stormwater regs are authorized by 160D. Right. That statute says you can't criminally enforce it except with respect to unsafe buildings under the minimum housing code and condemnation code. So I've removed that criminal penalty.
But there's still a civil penalty, correct?
Yes, right above it.
So the question is, I guess, after the 30 days, if they don't pay the civil penalty, then what happens?
Well, enforcement of civil citations is basically court action to collect on a debt.
Okay.
You can save them all up and send somebody down to small claims, or you can take it piece by piece.
Okay.
A lot of towns are reluctant to do it, but that's how you do it.
Okay. Hopefully we will work with people and not have those, but if we do, then I'll be going down. Okay.
If you go to page, let's see, where is it? Go to page 6, chapter 8, article 6, burning trash, rubbish, and other materials. If you turn the page and look at the bottom of 7, the original language was guilty of a misdemeanor and punished or fined in the discretion of the court. Well, that's not what 14.4 says. So we simply made the reference, we took out that language, which has no statutory basis, and plugged in a reference to 14.4. So that's a class 3 misdemeanor, $50 fine. Turning the page to dogs. And one of the things that we have to go back and look at the, now let me tell you what I did, let me tell you what I didn't do. What I did was correct the penalty provision, which made a second offense a misdemeanor charged as by law prescribed. Again, what I did was change that to make a clear reference that the second offense is punishable a la 14.4. I don't recall, I think all we did some dog PTAs that aren't even effective yet. They become effective in April. I don't think we touched the penalty. I think we just allowed a time for the dogs to be on the beach. So I'm not worried about that. Permits under Chapter 11, that's another 160D scenario.
Excuse me.
Yes, sir.
Is it the current, it's not 150, is it, for the first violation?
I thought it was 70, didn't we move it to 75?
The code currently says 150, and again,
whatever the code says is what it is, so.
That's true.
The fees are in.
It's just that that's more costly than driving your car down the beach when the beach is crowded, which doesn't make sense.
Well, it, again, that's policy for you all. You can instruct me to change it, but the point I made at the beginning of my remarks is I didn't get into any of that.
Yeah.
So if you want to change the budget, you just tell me.
But you're right. That's something we should look at.
Yeah. We just approved it tonight.
But dogs on the beach?
I'm not saying it. That's what the code said.
It's 75.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
75, second is 100.
Well, if you look at 9.04050, the black language is the current text. And the code says 150. Now, one of the things we're going to talk about.
Jim, you have to remember those were some of the civil citation fees that need to be changed that Arlen had brought forward.
I was just going to say, one of the things we're going to talk about in a little bit later is Arlen pointed out some time ago the inconsistency. Well, let me back up.
The annual fee schedule has a section on it, which I'll hand out later, that sets for civil citation penalties. Arlen pointed out correctly some time ago that in comparing what's set forth on the fee schedule to what's in the code, the fee schedule is incomplete and inconsistent.
Okay.
And I'm going to make a recommendation. I'll just go ahead and make it now. It would be a lot easier to delete the civil penalties from the fee schedule since they are set forth specifically enough in the code rather than add everything in the code to the fee schedule. There's no requirement for them to be in the fee schedule. The code is very specific, and it would be a lot more lines in the fee schedule to, and a lot more work to bring everything in the code, which would be left in the code and redundantly set forth on the fee schedule.
I agree.
I don't.
You don't?
No, I would rather, because then if you're going to change it, I would rather the ordinances reference the fee schedule, so if it gets updated, it's updated in one place. And two, citizens can look in one place and see what all the fees are.
Yeah, I'm a little reluctant to agree.
Okay.
I'm just trying to parse it out in my mind. In this case, if you're talking about criminal enforcement, the legislature has clearly said that if you're going to criminally enforce, your code better be crystal clear about it. I would think the same sort of reasoning might apply to civil penalties, that if you're going to authorize it by the code, I think the code ought to say it. I can't quote you chapter and verse supporting that as I could for criminal enforcement, but that's my takeaway.
Well, the point you make, I think a legitimate one is you have criminal code and you have a civil code. And I don't think we have an ordinance for every civil fine. Do we, John?
We do.
We do?
Every citation resulting in a civil penalty is set forth in sufficient and specific detail in the code at the current time.
Everyone.
Everyone that's punishable by a citation.
And in the fee schedule, it references which section to look at to find it.
Right.
So, I think they're going to be in both places because, I mean, if someone asks one of us, for me, it's very helpful to be able to look up exactly where it is, right? Mm-hmm. And I can reference someone, a citizen, hey, you want to know what it costs if you walk around with a beer can and the police write you a civil citation because you said it was? Well, it just happens to be right here on our website. Go look at it. And we just changed it tonight, as a matter of fact.
It doesn't matter to me which way you want to go. That's fine. I do want the council to understand that to extrapolate everything from the code, leaving it there, but extrapolating it and putting it in the fee schedule. I want you all to know that's going to be a labor-intensive project because there's a lot that's in the code that's not on the fee schedule.
So what are, like, give me one example.
6 to 10 hours, perhaps?
No, one example. No, I don't know. I don't mean how much cost. What's an example?
I cross-read the fee schedule, but I agree with Arlen that it's incomplete and inconsistent. I'll give you an example. Dogs on the beach, 75 on the fee schedule, 150 in the code.
Yeah, that's because we changed it last year. We didn't do our job right? Because in the fee schedule, it references which section, so we should have went and fixed that. I mean, we didn't do our job because we changed that last summer, as Dennis remembered, when we did the whole discussion about that. And
I'm not pushing one or the other. That if we recreate these things on the fee schedule, it's going to take a little bit of time to do it.
If we have a discrepancy on the criminal codes between the fee on the fee statement and what we have in the
I don't think
ordinance.
Criminal codes are on here.
Fee schedule doesn't include
it. It's only civil penalties that are on here. Right?
Only the civil.
Yeah, criminal is a different issue, and I agree with you totally about the criminal side. I understand your point.
I don't have any problem doing it, yeah. But I guess I need some direction from council.
I don't think I don't think it requires an attorney to do that. I think that's a staff function. Not that you couldn't do it, but spend your time looking through our ordinances. The people that enforce them and write them should highlight to finance, hey, you don't have this one on here, right? Well, I mean, we have department heads that are responsible for those.
There's a lot of different chefs in the kitchen, and coupled yeah. with that is the fact that I've already combed it from top to bottom to begin with, so I've got a pretty good idea of what needs to be moved over.
Counsel, I don't want to run the show on this one, but I think it is valuable. I don't know that it requires our attorney to do it, but I think that I agree with your 6 to 8 hours to look through all the ordinances and find where everything is. Although I think now that you have electronically, you can do fines and find all the dollar signs, and then you'd find them all pretty fast, honestly, but maybe not. So,
well, but it's also recreating it on the fee schedule, and tracking the change and bringing it back as a text amendment.
Well, that's what Arlen does every time we change any of the fees. I mean, that's what finance does.
I'm not arguing. I just want to know which way y'all want
yeah,
to
yeah. go. Yeah, yeah. So that's my input. I'll shut up for the rest of the council.
Okay. I think
it's important, this discussion. And we just have to determine, do we want it in one place? Do we want to invest to put it in one place? And your opinion is we should. Right. And we need to hear from the rest of the council.
Well, I think we should have it in one place also.
Well, it's got to be consistent. That's yeah. all I want to see is consistency yeah. here.
When you say one place, you mean in the code and the fee schedule?
Yeah.
Okay.
This also says, I'm just looking for $150 for the first offense. Person violating this provision a second time shall be guilty of misdemeanor. Fine is $14.4, which I thought was
$50. It is.
So now we're going from 150, you get a second offense, it's only 50.
Again, I didn't get into policy.
yeah.
That's your all's problem.
Yeah, so.
That's not what the fee schedule says.
And the fee schedule says 250, right?
Mm-hmm. It says 100. 75 and then 100.
100, okay. Well, used to be 250, I think.
Yeah,
but
that's right. It did
And when you change it, how do we just change, because I wasn't here when, I was probably here for the discussion, but I don't remember. How do we change the fee schedule? We changed it to 75 because we thought 150 was egregious.
You probably.
It was a council decision, yeah. I guess. And that's when I first brought up, I think, that we had inconsistencies between our ordinances and,
okay.
and the fee schedule.
All right. So I agree with David. I think we need to put the effort in, whatever it takes.
Okay.
Okay. To make this consistent. Yeah,
well, there's a lot of effort to be done. And
while we're here, do you want to make dogs civil citation 50s? And since that would be consistent with the second violation imposing a criminal fine, do you want to make it 50 both times?
The fee schedule that we just passed says is the second violation will be a civil fine of $100.
Well,
that's what it shows in our fee schedule.
Just tell me what you want to do about dogs, because I'm going to be changing both docs anyway.
Right.
Well,
I don't think we'll solve every discrepancy this evening, gentlemen. I mean, you could even go down and say it's the same penalty to discharge a BB gun as is a 30-30.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well. Yeah.
So, I mean, we're going to have work to do. I think what Jim said tonight is he's getting the words lined up. We need to determine how we want to get the fees lined up. That's what we want to do.
Yes, right. I think we got to get some consistency, get them lined up. And in a general sense, I think any second offense should be more expensive than the first offense.
Yeah, generally it should be.
So, let me make a couple of comments. I think we're so close to... Tonight's matter is how the code should be worded with respect to criminal enforcement, and we're 99% of the way towards completing that task, and I'd like to complete that task. Every once in a while, we run into a couple of wrinkles, therefore missing the E and unfortified versus fortified, which I'll take care of. since we're on dogs right now, do you want to make a consensus? Because at the end of this discussion, you're going to vote on whether to accept these changes. If you want to go ahead and address dogs right now, let's do that. Because if you think back to the previous criminal provision, the second violation resulted in a class 2 misdemeanor, and we can establish a more expensive fine. So let me just ask counsel, what, and maybe you already did this on the fee schedule, the first offense is $75, is that correct?
Yes.
All right, so if they do it a second time, do you want it to be criminal or do you want it to continue to be a civil citation?
Chief, do you have any thoughts?
No, I mean...
I mean, it's your team writing it, so...
He would think it should be civil. You don't want to deal with it as a criminal code.
If we get you once, we'll civil citation. If we get you twice, it's...
And I don't know that I'd be ready without looking at it to say that everything should be equal because... I think there are things that aren't equal.
Well, Chief said that the second time they treat it as a misdemeanor, so let me just ask you this. We can keep it as a class 3 misdemeanor under 14.4. 175 tells, or 14.4 tells us if we're going to do more than a $50 fine, we specify the amount. What fine do you all want?
$100.
Okay.
That's what we made back when we discussed this ad nauseum, so there you go.
Yep.
Next change shows up under permits, bottom of page 8. We made the violation regarding the project easement line, since that's a 160D regulation, we limited that to civil penalties. With respect to somebody on the dune destroying vegetation, I didn't see that as a development regulation. I see that as a beach protection matter. So I've left that. I've left the criminal punishment there, but I clarified it by making it by making the reference to 14.4. When you get to recreation, that's a difficult part of the code because it's the subsections go all the way to P or Q, and each subsection has its own, rather than an enforcement remedy for the whole thing, each section has its own enforcement remedy. If you look at page 9, 13, 14, 10, skating, playing softball on streets, the $25 penalty the first time around, the second time around, it's a 14.4 misdemeanor, class 3, $50 fine. If you turn the page to 10, the violation section there refers to surfing and swimming above. That's jumping off the pier, getting too close to the pier. This is one where we made the civil citation $25 and a 14.4 misdemeanor. But if you go to E, where they're, and I made the mistake, it's E where they jump from the commercial pier, that is a class 3 misdemeanor, but we've upped the penalty. Well, the current code has a penalty of $250.
Mm-hmm.
And 14.4 also tells us that if we're going to put a prison sentence on there, possibility of imprisonment, that we have to specify that. When you get into sentencing, it takes a criminal lawyer to understand how that works. So I simply put in prison as provided for under North Carolina's criminal code, maybe. And again, that's the intent of the current text. If you get into litter, glass, and alcoholic beverages, if you turn the page, you'll see a penalty for violating those sections. It's a civil citation for 25 and a 14.4 misdemeanor for the second or subsequent offenses. Same thing for jet skis near the pier. Turning to page 12, top section K, any person who should be found upon the berm or the dune who is not an existing, which is not an existing public access point, who is trampling or destroying the vegetation, shall be subject to a civil citation of 100. Second violation will be treated as trespassing. Fire on the beach, civil citation 100. Second offense 200. Again, these are current. A third strike, you get the 14-4 misdemeanor and the fine. Beach vitex, again, 100, 200 for the first and second civil penalties. Third, you'll be fined, the misdemeanor and the fine that 14-4 specifies. Beach equipment on 13, again, it's a civil penalty for 50 and 100 the second time, and 14-4 misdemeanor the third time. And I think the final one is on page 14, restoration of the beach. And Mandy, if you could pull up the recent text amendment. I've got, all I did there was correct the subsection, but if you see, we've adopted these text amendments. And let's see, if you can show me the rest of the a person violating the provisions of this subsection shall pay the civil penalty of $100. So that's consistent, but we'll, once the mayor signs that ordinance, we'll use that language instead of this language. So, any questions? I appreciate your patience, kind of dry, but those are statutorily required, so thank you. If you entertain a motion to adopt those, reference the fact that per the amendments that you all instructed.
Yep.
Do we have a motion?
So I make a motion we adopt as presented and direct the finance officer and attorney to work to align the fee schedule with the ordinances.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Okay.
Thank you, Jim. Nice talk.
Yeah, nice. Thanks for keeping straight with all the changes.
Okay, let me go back to where we were. Okay, that is the end of new business. I have no other updates. Gentlemen, you have any updates for or anything to mention?
No, sir.
No. Dennis?
No, sir.
No.
David?
No, sir.
No, sir.
Alan? John?
I will share with the group real quick that I was at the MPO meeting today. I'm the town's liaison to that group. And as we're discussing a bike trail running a mile or maybe 3 miles, Navassa briefed their bike pedestrian plan today, and it's a 15-year plan at over $35 million.
We're looking
to trails. Yeah, there's a trail there. Hmm.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. I'll accept the motion to go into closed session.
If I make a motion to go into closed session for attorney-client privilege per GS 143-318-11A3 and ask the department heads to join us initially.
Second. Second.
Okay, we have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay.